Still in Proverbs 16. You get to sit the day undisturbed, huh, sis? You have the babies, you can just be fed, right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Proverbs 16, we left off at 9. So we're going to move forward. Based on that information from last week, we're going to keep moving. A man's mind plans his way. Again, that's a submitted, renewed mind. But the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. Drop down to verse 10. It is an abomination to God and men for kings to commit wickedness. For a throne is established and made secure in righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. I am seeing the clarity in a different way as I'm reading this word. I've read this proverb many times in my life, but as God is making me walk through it, he's making me see things that I pay attention to. Whenever I thought about a king, I thought about a ruler, I thought about leading officials, government, whatever you want to call it, and I would say it is right. Thrones are established in righteousness, and these people in leadership are not righteous people, so how is that so? These ungodly people that rule here and there, like, they're not a righteousness. How is that an establishment of God? And then I looked at it again from the beginning. That's why it's not good to pull stuff out of its context. This whole book is talking about the man or woman whose mind, life, thoughts, directions are surrendered to and submitted to God. This is what this whole book is about. So here's what I mean. Unrighteous or unholy or unsubmitted leadership don't qualify for that verse. Be it in government or in church or anywhere else. A pastor who is not surrendered to God is unfit to be in that leadership position. He may be man appointed. God is talking about God appointed leaders. He may be school qualified and went and got a degree and somebody put him in position, but that's not a God qualified, elected, ordained position. So when God said to me, it is an abomination to God and men for kings to commit wickedness, I said, so you're talking about the body of Christ, and you're talking about us, the kings and queens. So we call ourselves that, royalty. We're God's ordained elected kings and queens. He's saying, your throne. See, we like to look at everything from an earthly perspective, earthly thrones and earthly kingdoms. King and kingdom should pass away, right? The song says. No, it's the identity. Let me say it this way and then make it real simple. Maybe if you'll say it with me, you'll understand. We have a lost identity to reclaim. Little children, ye are gods and sons of the Most High God. So the royalty statement is not about the commoner. It's about you. It's about me. And it's an abomination before God and man for us to walk in wickedness. Let's break that down a little bit. Because the Bible says we're the salt of the earth. And if a salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing or to be thrown underfoot and walked on. So when I look at the church being walked on, Song of Solomon has seen, I've seen this thing in the earth. He said that just saw injustice, abomination. He just, I'm kept paraphrasing, but just this horrible thing I've seen in the earth. Slaves riding horses like princes and princes walking like slaves. It's this abomination. I'll give you another scripture just so we know we are on scriptures, right? For the children of unrighteousness are wiser in this generation than the children of light. There is a misplaced royalty. So when we think of a king or a leader or a queen, we immediately reflect that on the world. When God's talking to us, who is the word written to? The house is people, God's people. From the Old Testament to the New, from the Jew to those who are grafted in. I don't omit the Jew. That's our heritage. He's saying for us to walk in abomination as kings, as children of Most High God, is a shame before him. Why would God be ashamed if sinners act like sinners? You're not usually ashamed of what other people's kids do. You're ashamed what your kids do that's not right. So he's saying it's a shame before me and for the men looking at you when you who are royalty make a decision to live and act like the heathen. So I begin to say, okay, now that I know you're talking about me, let me read this again, the rest of this, because usually when I read this, I disqualified myself from it. Come on, don't look at me like I'm silly, because you know I'm telling the truth. When you said, it's an abomination for a king to do witnesses, yeah, sure is. You immediately wrote yourself out of that. Well, welcome back. Because it's talking about us. We're the royal bloodline. And he said it's an abomination. It's ugly for us. It makes God look bad. It's a shame for us to do unrighteousness. Well, and wickedness, I mean. Well, I begin to think about a few things that I've learned over my walk in time. And so now that I'm relating it to me, and I'm judging, letting the house speak to the house, judging its own self, yes, I begin to now see a different light that God's speaking to me. Because if you take the first verses that we read in this about rolling our cares on the Lord and committing our hearts to God and letting God direct our steps and our thoughts being established by him, and a man's ways are right in his own mind, but God judges his heart. Now I know you're talking about me. So I begin to look at a couple of things. And the first thing that hit me was this. For kings, say the kings, is talking about me. To commit wickedness. Now, let's just break down wickedness real quick. Because if I ask everybody here, wickedness, what is wickedness? You'll probably say murder, right? What's some of the things you would throw up? What's wickedness, huh? Hatred. And come on, no more takers for wickedness here? Lying, stealing, I got that. Go ahead. Anything else? Anything that's not good? Mean-spirited? Breaking of the commandments? All of this stuff is right. But here's the real definition of the word wicked. In its original word, it means twisted. Anything that's a deviation from the truth is wickedness. See, church folk don't like that. We like calling out the heavy stuff. Let's put out the big guns. Fornication, rape, killing, murder, lying, stealing. Just twisting the truth to make it work for you is wickedness. The word wicked, I don't know if you ever heard this before, but it's true. The word wicked is where we get the word wicker. Like wicker furniture. Right? So you got a lot of wicked Christians that they might not do the full-blown stuff, but they just twist the truth just a little bit to make it work for them. I just add another person on my niece on my taxes because it saves money. It's a little, it ain't really stealing. I got the illegal cable hookup, but you know what I'm saying? It's not really, really stealing. They make a lot of money off of us anyway. You know, and we start to twist. And God's saying, yeah, but that's embarrassing to me. It's shameful to me. Why? This ain't a beat you up, oh my God, you're so evil message. It's just a revelation, right? Because you are now finding a way to get provision outside of just believing me. You are really not giving me the chance to show what I can do here. You got to go do some little twisted, sordid thing. Somebody came to me not so long ago and they said, I know you do real estate and stuff and you made money in it. Yeah. I want to do some real estate stuff with you. Now I got money. Got good money. Kind of money. Said the kind of money. I said, that's good money. He said, so I want to do this. So I want to try to figure out how we could possibly do it through you. Okay. Keep talking. I don't want to tell you more than you need to know. Okay. I like that. Thank you. Because unless you're speaking to me as a pastor, there's no pastor-client privilege here. So, good. Keep talking. Let's just say the money's not all legitimate. Okay. So basically, you want me to launder? Not exactly, and let me explain. I'm interested. Explain. Because what you just said to me basically is some of this money is not legal. I'm not asking you where you got it. I don't even want to know. But you want me to partner with you into something that you're telling me might not be straight up 100% legitimate money. It all depends on how you look at it. And let me explain. Now, you got to understand something. You listening to me?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes.
The human side of me wants him to explain it away so that I can be okay with it. Please explain it in a way, because you mentioned some big numbers there. That's some good money. Ain't nobody mad at that. Come on now. So please, one, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But that wasn't because I don't want to know, because I don't want to be implicated. It was like, because if I don't really know, maybe I can make myself believe that I could take this money. Oh, see, you don't want to have these real conversations that pastor has when he tells on himself. But that's why God blesses me, because I do. All right? I don't want to know how you got this money, because then I don't have to feel accountable. It was because I was so spiritual and sacred. I just don't want to know. Tell me something that make me feel okay in my spirit to take this $500,000 that you talk about giving me. Explain it. And the more he's going, okay, well, let me just put it like this. And with every let me just say and let me just put it like this, my spirit sunk a little bit more. because I knew this deal ain't, I am not going to be able to justify my spirit doing this wicker deal. Let me explain, I'm feeling a little less excited about this blessing of the Lord that has just fallen into my lap. This windfall of prosperity that I'm about to be able to use. And I'm going, and finally, there was just this check inside of me that said, stop the conversation. Just stop it. And I said, whatever it is not up front and is not righteous. And because of that, let's not even have this conversation. This is dead. I'm going to feed you something here. I tell you my stories not just to entertain you, but to give you an insight. The longer I entertained it, the more I would have leaned toward it. A little twisting. It wasn't outright sin, outright dirty. It was just a little just twist, a little wrap it around, tuck it under that one, and bring it over like that, and then turn it to that way. And it's a pretty piece of furniture. Look at it. It's so nice. But it's wicked. It's twisted. It's a king or the Lord about to take a deal that I know going in ain't straight righteous. And the more you listen to it, the more you can justify in yourself your wickedness. So I knew for my own safety, not for my deep spirituality and how strong a godly man I was to just say, oh, no, I'm a good Christian man. I wouldn't do a deal like that. I just said, just to free yourself from this temptation. Stop. I'm just gonna make this quick and easy. No, we can't do this deal. It's not righteous. Bring me some righteous bank money that you have no problem cutting me a check for, and then we can talk. Until then, my answer is no. But thank you for considering me. Well, I know some other people, they'd be willing to do this deal. I'm sure you do. And I wish you and them all the best. But as for me, my heart felt like it was being twisted, wickered. You never made those kind of decisions or did those kind of things, and you know you had to twist your position just a little bit just to do? Come on, saints. It's a shame to God for us to have to resort to those kind of things because we have so little trust in his ability to provide for us. This is some sober message. This is sober message season. This is sober message season. So, next verse. Right and just lips are the delight of a king. Now you see how it applies to you? He who loves him, who speaks what is right. The wrath of a king is as the messenger of death, but a wise man pacifies it. I said, well, God, I don't get that. Like, if this is me, you just said the wrath of the king, what kind of wrath do I have? And then he threw me my mind back to the scripture that I still have trouble with this one. But I accept it as truth because the word says it. He who sins you forgive shall be forgiven. And he who sins you retain shall be retained. And I went, I remember reading that a long time ago. So you saying, you giving me power, he said, you got to understand something. If you hold animosity toward somebody and you have unforgiveness toward them, yeah, there's judgment that you get, but you also reaping evil on people. You are the people of God. Life and death is still in the power of your tongue. That's why God says, I want you to forgive. Because if you hold judgment against them, you put them in a place of judgment. I don't know if you understand that. You really do have the ability to hold. And if a person's already born again, they have to go get their own forgiveness. That's different. But the world, let me just say this just as plain as I can say it. Because it's not comfortable, but it's a true statement. The world is in a state it's in, my opinion, because of the church. That's my opinion. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. I'm going to give you my foundation. You can accept this or reject this. The world says, the word says to us, if we speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed, shall be removed, cast into the sea, and not doubt in the hearts, where you have those with whatsoever things you say. And I don't know if people catch that. You shall have whatsoever things you say. I don't know if people catch that. You shall have whatsoever things you say. So you can speak to the mountain and say, be cast in the sea, but he didn't say, and the mountain will be obey you, and that would be that. You can speak to mountains. That's what just you can speak to mouth. He said, you shall have whatsoever things you say. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, right? All this stuff is in there. The church. I'm old enough to remember a few things. I was a child, but I heard church people say when television came out that it was the devil. It was the devil's tool, the one-eyed monster. Is any of you old enough to remember that? Okay, it was the devil, it was Satan himself, nothing good about it, it's totally evil. It was Lassie and Flipper and stuff, but nonetheless, when I was old enough to remember, but it was evil and it was the devil. And the church by its mouth spoke the TV into the hands of the devil. The church did that. The church did that. They called the airwaves the devil. They spoke it. Listen, if the church had moved on the move of God, it would be all Christian TV and then maybe in the far stations some dirty stuff here and there. But now it's all dirty stuff and Christian stuff because the church figured out later, you know what, maybe we could use this. After you spoke it into the devil's hand and called it all the devil. Well, for those of you who are not old enough to remember that, the internet came out and the church said, it's the devil. And the church again spoke it into the hands of the enemy. Renounced it. The church is last to catch up on everything. They renounce everything. Everything is evil. Oh, Christian rap, that's evil. Okay, well, maybe if they had Christian rap first, maybe it wouldn't be the other one. You don't even know. You're just so quick to, well, that ain't gospel. All you doing is some old raggedy, cheap behind country western sounding crap. And singing God lyrics, so it ain't no different. Come on, stop. Stop. Stop calling everything the devil and then getting mad when the devil take it. They'll say about their children, my child is the devil himself. And then they turn out to be that, and then you, I don't know, Lord, I don't know what I did wrong. You called them that. You spoke that over them. Just like your daddy, he ain't no good, you ain't no good. You spoke it over him. Or if you didn't do that, you did the, I just don't know what I'm going to do with him. I just can't control him. Is that your confession? I can't control him? You speaking this? The church is so responsible for everything that's going on in this world. Why? Because the word told us we had authority over principalities and powers and all the powers of the devil. So if we're not controlling it, then that means because we're not. Not because we can't, because we haven't. We'd rather talk about, Donald Trump. What about him? That's an evil man. No, he ain't no more evil than you. Bible said, well, all of us got sin. Why aren't you praying for the leadership to be changed? The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He will turn it whatsoever way he will. Why don't you pray if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll hear the land. All of this is biblical. I'm not I'm not a fan of his either, but my point is, speaking evil and speaking more evil over him and saying he's this, he's that, ain't helping. Where's the church leader saying, I'm going to speak life? I'm claiming the peace of this nation. Most of the church leaders, to my disgust, and I'm saying this to be heard, most of these church leaders that are backing Trump and everything else, you're not backing him because it's a God appointment. You're backing him because he's in your religious party. So you are no better than anybody else. You are just as evil and vile as anything else in this world because you are backing a man because he follows your political standards, not because it's a God thing. You're not praying for, they're not praying for the man. They're praying for their political views to be upheld. They're putting people in place because they align with my religious beliefs. Well, where's the God? Why are we looking for any president or political leader to be our salvation when we're supposed to be the church upholding the standards of God and then the world following? It is what it is. We are the salt of the earth. We make the difference. And we make the difference by the things we speak and by the things we say and by the things we continue to stand for. But what we want to do is whine and cry all the time, like the world, about what is wrong. The problem is our words are spirit and life. So we're speaking stuff into the air that now can't be changed until we change what we say. So I've been really, really watching my mouth lately. Like, just don't watch the news. So now everybody's saying, oh, this is all coming out. All this stuff is coming out. Look at all this stuff is coming out. Okay. Call it back in. Speak it back underground, church. You're just defending who said what on Twitter and what he really meant. Both sides. Speak it where it needs to be. Call evil evil and speak it out of existence. The church's mouth. So we speak in wrath over this world. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. I've heard so many Christians say that in my life. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it is. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and in his favor is the cloud of brightness and spring rain. I said, God, who is this? He says, it's me. I'm talking about my kings in the presence of the king. Okay, well, how is that so? He said, go back to the first verses. Casting your whole of your cares, your thoughts become agreeable with his will, so your plans are established and succeed. So here's what hit me. And I never understood this until I saw this. Ready? If I surrender to God and God aligns my thoughts with him, like a man plans his thoughts, but God directs his path, right? If I align my thoughts, listen real close to what I'm about to say. You listening?
Yes.
With God's will, and my plans are established and succeed, whose plans establish and succeed?
God's.
You caught it, huh? So it's really not my plans that become established and succeed. If my thoughts align with his will, come on now. If my thoughts align with his will and I have the thoughts now, but he directs my steps, then the plans that are being established and succeeds are God's. You caught that, right? Now, so wait a minute. Wait a minute. So then when it talks about this king, it's talking about this king that's us that's being led by the king. So really, we're just doing the king's bidding in line with his specific leading because he's the king directing the king.
Hallelujah.
Wow. So I'm saying, okay, God, so I When you speak of the king, you're speaking of me, but you're speaking of you. Because I'm doing your will. My thoughts are aligned with your purpose. Oh, not I'm doing my thing and asking you to bless it. Now I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing and asking you to give it your seal of approval. But there's a place that we come to where our mind and his mind are one. And we're doing his will. So when he speaks of himself, he's speaking of me. And when he speaks of me, and now I understand what Jesus said, me and my Father are one. The things I hear him say, those are the only things I do. The things I see him do, the things I hear him say, that's all I do. Me and my Father are one. They want to stone him for that. You suppose yourself to be the Father. I didn't understand that at the time. But as God started walking me through this, it made sense. It made sense. Listen to me. It made sense. I said, I get it. When Jesus said, me and my Father are one, they took offense to it and wanted to stone him. He said, he's making himself equal to God. I didn't hear it that way. I just heard him say, me and God think the same. But in their mind, for him to say that means you must think you and God are the same. Yes. That is what he was saying. But that's what he's saying to us. You are my body. We sit together in heavenly places. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. I'm supposed to be able to say like Jesus, me and my Father are one. You offend the king, you offend the king. 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 Right? He said, those are against you, against me. Those are for you, for me, right? Oh. I just think I'm supposed to live out my life the best I can and try to get along as best I can with people and try to please God best I can. And then when I get to heaven, everything will be all right. And God's like, did you not read the I give you all authority over principalities, powers, mights, and spiritual. Did you not see that word all? We are living beneath our spiritual privilege. There's an authority and an honor and a placement in terms of royalty that we've been taught to forsake, not to give value to. God helps me. The Holy Spirit, I'm so glad the Holy Spirit helps me. I'm not dissing any of that. I've done that my whole life. But God said, listen to me, which is what I've been saying for probably the past couple of months. I've called you to something much bigger than that. And the works that I do, you should do also. And Because I go back to the Father now. I'm one in you, and then I go back to the Father. He didn't say I'm go back to the Father to hang out. I took that all wrong. Ready? The Bible said he was from the Father, and he returned to the Father. Here's how we take that. He's from God's house. God and him lived together. He came down here and he hung with us for a while. Then he went back home to his apartment. In God's house, his room. God, that's Jesus' room. You can't go in there. When those of us, as we really be honest, am I getting too deep with this? If we really be honest in our spirits, in our hearts as Christians, we know that him and the Father are one. It was Lord, one Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. We all know he's one and the same. But now through religion and through storybooks and whatever, we've separated them into two different entities that Jesus came and he was this good guy that God sent. When he went back from the front, here, let me give it to you in a way that your minds, your natural minds can totally grab it. I don't know how long it'll take for your spiritual minds to connect, but I'm going to make sure your natural minds grab it, okay? If you take a lump of clay and you grab a piece of it and you yank it off and you make it into the form of a man and then you let it walk around and do its thing, and when it come back and you take it and you put it back together. So when he went back to the Father, he didn't go back and say, "Hi, I'm home. Okay, well, go over and get something to eat." He went back to the Father. He was of the Father. He came here. The Father sent him. And then he went back home. So I believe when we go to heaven, there's the Father, the Savior, the Lord, the God, the Creator. All one thing, not two separate things. Oh, Jesus over here, yeah. Jesus, where the Father? He over there. All right, I'll talk to you later, Jesus. I'm going to go see the Father, see how he doing. Right? No. It's... So when we talk about this, the works that I do, you should do so, and greater because I reunite to my source.
Hey, hallelujah.
I did works here on earth because I separated myself as a man. I came as a man to bear your sins. The Bible said he left his glory there. He came here in the form of a man. Then he paid the price for our sins. And then we became his. And he became ours. We became his disciples or his children or bought by his blood. And then he went back to the Father infused and said, "Now you could do greater works than I did." Why? Because when I was on earth, I was walking as a man being led by the Spirit. But now I've sent you the Spirit to live in you because me and the Father are dunamis power all one together again. And you now walk in that power, which is not the power I walked in on the earth. So what he said is basically you're now in a greater position than I was when I was here.
Yes.
Didn't he say we have a better covenant of that of Abraham? Do you remember Abraham's covenant? So the king is one with the king. Is one with the king. See, this, yeah, I tell you, I said it may take a minute for your spirit to catch up. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Correct? What is it? What's the hope of glory? Christ in who?
Me.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yet, if ye be in Christ, you're a new creature. Wait a minute. Who's in who then? See, this is the kind of stuff church folk don't think about. One verse says Christ in you. Next one says you in Christ. How's that? You can't put a bucket inside of each other at the same time. You can't put a water in the cup, and then the cup in the water. One thing is in another. They're not both in each other. But he said, no, Christ in you. If ye be in Christ, it's one. It's one. The wheel inside the wheel, it's one. That lump of clay was the best thing I can give you. You're in it. It's in you. It's no longer two separate entities. Church, I think I'm just going too deep today. We are living beneath our royal privileges and calling. We are not understanding who we actually are. And my heart is crying out to God, like, not like, God, help me get this. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. And he said, but your spirit will get it. And I said, well, how do you want me to articulate this? I can't explain this to nobody. This don't make any sense even to me. He said, son, just do the best you can. They're going to have to come to me to get the full grasp. But I do I at least have you on the journey?
Yes, sir.
So I understood that now. The king, the king in me. If I'm submitted to you, if my thoughts are in agreement with your will, So if you go back up, now this what gets to me really good. Say to verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better is a little righteousness and uprightness and in every area in relationship and standing with God than great revenues with injustice. That made a little more sense to me at that point because I said, I get it. You're saying to me, if my ways please you, you cause everything to work out, even my enemies at peace, and it's better to have a little bit of righteousness than a whole bunch of unrighteousness with great revenues. And I'm saying, okay, but if my ways please you, I don't know how that works. Well, verse up before that, 6, by mercy and love and truth and fidelity to God and man, not by sacrificial offerings, iniquity is purged out of the heart, and by reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart from and avoid evil. Oh, so this is keeps going back to, you listening to me? Say it with me, a surrendered heart. Are you getting that? A surrendered heart. God, that my thoughts are agreeable with your will needs to be the quest of my life for this season. Not how do I figure this out? How do I get out of this issue? How do I make this go away? How do I make people treat me better? How do I make it? No. If my heart is surrendered to your direction, then here's what happens. The proud, the verse before that, disgusting. We went to that last week. Then he said, why? By mercy and truth and fidelity to God and man, not by your sacrificial offerings. I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithe. I don't cuss no more. I don't club like I used to. Oh, you said like I used to, so you're still clubbing a little bit. All right, so on with that. He said, no, not by your sacrifices. He said, by mercy, by truth, by love. Well, I know truth is God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. We already established this one. We all know God is love. We all know God is mercy. So listen, I don't know if you're ready for this. You ready for this? You ready? You sure? By God, to God, iniquity is purged out of the heart. By God, to God, iniquity is purged. Now, see, but you're at the door. I need to bring you a little closer. I need you to sit with that. We just said mercy is God. We know God is love, and we know God is truth. By God, to God. Use the lump clay thing. Go back to the clay lump. Not God's in you. Little children, ye are God's, and children of the Most High God. Me and my Father are one. There's this. Stop the separation thing. Stop the segregation thing. Stop putting Jesus in this room and God in that room and you in that room. Stop putting the Holy Spirit over there and God over there and Jesus over there and you over there. And now it might be hard enough for you just to get Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the same room. But now put you in that same room. Now put you in that same room. I know this is a rough one, but I'm just going to keep working on you for the little bit of time I got left. I'm just going to just beat it in. Listen, if you get home and go, oh, my God, I got it, that works for me. Listen, God created man in his image and his likeness. Made him in his image and likeness. Gave him authority to name every creature on the planet. All wisdom. Bible said all wisdom. Not some. Or what wisdom? Or the same wisdom God had. And gave him the power to name. Right? Now, man fell. We know that. Then he comes to Abraham and he makes his covenant with Abraham. Abraham walks with God. God makes this conversation. I want you to listen to this. When I read that thing about the judgment of the king, you were listening to me, but you kind of had this look like, I know, because you're not there yet. But God says, you ready for this? Ready for this? Scripture, right here, lays it out. I'm going to go destroy this place. But should I do this without first consulting my friend, Abraham? Stop. Think about this. So God, who can judge the world, he don't need nobody's opinion. But he doesn't without first consulting his friend, Abraham. And then he doles out the punishment based on Abraham's decision. So who's calling the judgment? He did that for his friend. That's before. Doesn't it say we have a new and more better established covenant than that of Abraham? So if he wouldn't do that without first talking to Abraham, what would he do with you? Filled with his Holy Spirit, born again, renewed, being in him. I'm telling you, that's just going to mess with you all week. Your head is smoking, huh? Listen, let me just say, come on. See, I knew this one wasn't going to be an easy sell. But nonetheless, let me say it one more time. The clay. One looked like Adam. And then the next piece of clay, because man sinned, was Yeshua. And then at the end, gathered all back together in him. That's what the scripture says. He gathered all things together in him, which are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Yes. Then he gathered you together in him. Lord, take me away. because you're just looking at me like, are you freaking kidding me? He gathered all things together in Christ and put it in him. And we're in him. And he's in God. And God's in us. But we're in God. And it is disgusting for a king, somebody like you with your stature and your position and all of your giftings and callings and your position, to do wicked. Because you're looking at yourself as average. Somebody say, we need to know how great we really are. Me too. I was reading this. I was struggling with it like you are. But my spirit got it. So I'm being patient with you because your spirit's going to get it. I know it is. Like I said, you might wake up this week. You may be on your way home and start screaming and jump out and run around in your car 3 times, get back in it. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm like, God, I'm acting like a peasant. I'm seeing myself as lowly. No matter how many times I preach how mighty I am in you, I see myself as your G.I. Joe. I'm seeing myself as your toy that you play with. I'm not seeing myself as your bride, your spouse, your body, your representation, your sword, your light of the world, all the stuff you said I am. Oh, Jesus is the light of the world. And he just said, we are the light. What? God, help us not be average.
Yes.
So, yeah, you can sit around and whine about your problems all day and continue to speak life to them and give them more and more power because you're God. Well, your representation, you're speaking it. Well, just like you're saying, let there be light, you're saying, let there be problems. Let there be issues and frustrations and shortcomings. Let there be confusion and worry and doubt, and I don't know. But in the end, and that's to see the disclaimer. But in the end, you know, I know God will work it out. After you just spend an hour saying the other stuff, really? God gets that? That's what God gets, but I know the Lord will make a way. Really? You didn't speak that other stuff with that lack of enthusiasm and confidence. You spoke that other stuff with strong conviction and strength about where you are and what you're going through. But when you got to God, you gave God the righteous pass. You know, but I know the Lord will work it all out. Really? That's it? That's all God gives to God? That's it? God, forgive me. I never want to be that person again. I want to be used right. I don't want wickedness to come out my mouth, twisted stuff, stuff that sounds like I believe but is all filled with doubt, stuff that's the right church thing to say but is wicked, it's twisted, it's mixed with fear and worry and everything else, but I'm saying it mixed in with the stuff of God, wicked, twisted, truth, semi-truth. Well, no, the Lord, he may not be there when you want him, wicked, twisted, wicked. Twisted truth is not real truth. It's perverted truth. It's semi-truth. Again, not beating anybody up. Just saying, wake up. Just saying, wake up. And will you get it all today? No, you're going to walk this out. Work out your salvation with concern and focus. Pure reverence, trembling in fear, real reverence. Work it out. Stop feeling ashamed. Jesus didn't consider it robbery to be equal to God, but humbled himself. See those little verses you read, those say, well, that's so poetic. Jesus didn't consider it robbery to be equal to God. Good old Jesus. But I'm his body. So then I need to not feel like it's robbery to be equal to God.
Yes, right.
But then you go to the next part. However, he humbled himself. See, that's a good place to bring it home. Thank you, Father. Jesus didn't consider it robbery to be equal to God. He didn't feel like he was doing anything wrong. Everybody around him did. So for their sake, he humbled himself, but it didn't change his position. Goes to the question you asked me not a couple of weeks ago. How do I be humble and then not be prideful, not be, you know, not come off as proud or arrogant? And I said, Jesus was humble, but then he was very confident who he was. He didn't question himself. He was very sure who he was, but he was still very humble. How do I do that? In the Holy Spirit, of course. The best way to be humble is shut your mouth unless God tells you to speak it. That's the best way to be humble. I'm just telling you. And when he tells you to speak it, don't bite your lip. Let it all hang out and let people take it the way they want. That's the best way to be humble. If you're offended, oh, well, I know I said what God told me to say, and you live with that. That's what I find, just to shut my own mouth and let God speak to me and let the chips fall where they may. So, I don't find it, I'm confessing by faith as well as what I've learned, I'm not finding it any longer robbery to consider myself God's equal. I'm his child. I'm his equal. I'm made in his image and likeness. However, I humble myself. I let your mind be in me. I want to submit all my ways and thoughts to you. I'm telling you, I'm wearing this out till my thoughts become agreeable with your will. Because that's the place I'm in right now. I don't want to talk about nothing else but that. Amen. So until I feel like I'm totally there, you might hear this scripture every time you'll see me. But this is the place I am. God, I want my thoughts to line up with your will, so then you will be established and succeed in my life. Because once my thoughts line up with your will, then your will succeeds. Not my will, but your will be done. I get it. I get it now, Jesus. I understand what you're saying when you say that. Not my will, but your will be done. Amen. Amen. Amen.